Uh-oh. Sounds like somebody's got a case of the Mundus.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio. This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Have no place to go, darling. Goodbye, baby. Yes, I'm going. Yes, I'm going. Goodbye, baby. Yes, I'm going. Yes, I'm going.
Never knew this song did this. Normally I'm yapping by now. 6:11, Andrea is back from Florida. How was that?
Hey, it was very nice. Good getaway for a couple days. Sit by the ocean.
What part of Florida were you at?
Naples, Florida.
Naples, very nice.
Beautiful. Very nice.
Very nice. A lot of folks from the western suburbs have relocated to Naples.
Yeah.
Is there like a big money laundering operation going on down there?
No, but there is a Chicago area contingent. Once you sit by the pool, it's funny, you have this whole list of things to do, but it always starts out with sit by the pool in the morning, and then you end up just sitting by the pool all day because you're so relaxed.
Not a pool guy.
Yeah.
Mm. Did you see Jerry Taft?
No, you have to take an Uber to see Jerry. You know, Jerry's driving an Uber.
Yeah,
is he really?
Uh huh.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Wow. I did not see Jerry Taylor.
Apparently plays golf all the time.
Yeah, plays golf every day, and then he drives an Uber to cover, you know, his cart fees or whatever.
I did see a lot of alligators in the different ponds.
They live there.
And, you know,
they get on the golf course?
Lakes.
They like the golf course.
One was near a golf course, near the golf course, yes.
There was an alligator in Florida last time I was there. He's a 4 handicap. You would not believe the guy's short game.
Right?
I mean, tiny little short arm, short game.
We went on this little man-made lake by the house where I stayed at, and they said, this guy said, he looked like Crocodile Dundee only without the Australian accent, okay. The long blonde hair.
Right.
And he said, I wouldn't go in there. He said, there's gators in there. He said, I've trapped 8. With my bare hands. So he's like the new, what do you call it? The new Steve Irwin.
Yeah, Crocodile
Irwin.
Dundee.
So we ended up taking
Steve Irwin, yeah.
So we took the little boat
Crocodile
out.
Hunter. That's his name.
Yeah, we didn't take the paddle boards out that day.
Yeah, you don't want to mess with them.
No.
It's their house.
No, I know. Yeah. And then you know what he said? He said, don't worry, they don't like the taste of human meat, so if you can just hang on.
Yeah, okay. All
right. Just let them do their thing, and then they will lose the taste for you, and then just swim away.
Steve Irwin himself, the crocodile hunter, probably 20 years ago. Told me, if you're ever attacked by a crocodile, I said, not a great chance it's going to happen in Chicago.
Right.
But he said, cover their eyes as fast as you can and as hard as you can. And if you ever notice how he used to jump on crocodiles, you jump on them from behind, mm-hmm. and you're not even worried about their snout, but you cover their eyes so they can't see.
Oh, they have alligator seminars too, because he said if you want to stay for an extra day, they're going to do an alligator seminar. Which apparently they really took the
thing. I assume you didn't take them up on it?
No, I had to get back.
Do they bring in a simulated alligator?
No, they have wow, that's a good question.
Well, I don't think they'd have
a real one.
No, I don't think so.
They'd have to have something so you can get its eyes.
Learn how to cover its eyes. Or just hang on.
Uh-huh.
There's that.
Until you start bleeding to death.
Hang on.
Yeah. Right, lose an arm, but hey, just hang on. They'll lose the taste for you.
They don't like human meat. They like what?
They like, they eat their own. They do, because the one alligator, he said, ate all the babies. So they eat their own,
pleasant.
And then they eat fish and birds and things like that. Snakes.
It's nature.
Steak. They like steak.
Like steak?
You throw them a steak, they're very happy.
Seared, like a medium well?
Yeah, they like a medium, usually.
Yeah.
Like
a
good handbag and a good pair of shoes.
Well, they don't want to be turned into that, right? That's why they're fighting.
That's right.
We've got a bunch of stuff in the top 6 at 6. I'm going to guess about 6 items. Dave, give me an intro to this. Just say it now. Here's the top 6 at 6.
And now time for the top 6 at 6.
Nicely done. All right, top 6 at 6. Item number one. And Joe, I know it's your birthday. Happy birthday, Joe, by the way. But I'm going to need you to do a live quack in between the segments, okay, since our regular quack is not available. Former Chicago Alderman Wilson Frost served nearly 20 years on the city council, was one of the city's leading African-American politicians of his era. He's died. He was in his early 90s. Did you ever meet him?
He was. I never met him, no, but I've just heard so many things about him. Mm-hmm. Obviously, he was Alderman of the 21st and the 34th wards.
I did not know him, but I always heard that he did do what an alderman's supposed to do, and that's put his people and his blocks before him.
Yeah, absolutely. So absolutely. He in 76, he was poised to become the mayor after Richard J. Daley died, but was blocked by the city council.
Quack.
Thank you very much. I didn't see that coming, I'll be honest with you. Chris Kennedy's running mate, Rod Joy, is going to decide about whether he's running for mayor this week. I don't think that's the move.
I don't know if it is either, but at least he got some name recognition with the with the gubernatorial race.
And we like him, don't we?
I like Roger. Yeah, I think he's very good.
Quack.
Hawaii's Kilauea volcano. Have you seen the video of this?
It's awful.
It's unbelievable. Mm-hmm. Did you know lava runs underground?
No.
I mean, it makes sense, but I didn't know that.
I never thought about it.
Lava runs underground, mm-hmm. and when there's enough pressure, it creates an earthquake. The earthquake opens up the surface, and when the surface opens up, the lava comes out like geysers. Mm-hmm. They described it this way. It's a pretty good visual. It's like you slice a hose the long way, and the water just goes, you know, straight up, or the lava goes straight up in the air.
Pictures are insane.
Poisonous gases in the air.
Yes.
And obviously, you don't want to mess with the hot lava.
No.
You know, there's basically lava at the center of the planet, right? The molten core of the planet is sort of
I thought that was
lava.
Nougat.
Yeah. It's not creamy goodness. It's creamy goodness.
It's not nougat. If you've ever been lucky enough to be to the big, or go to the Big Island in Hawaii,
yes.
and I have a couple times, mm-hmm. you see volcanic rock
right.
all over
climb,
open faces.
Yeah, climb through
open
it.
Spaces, or
just
open
not,
spaces.
Just not the part with the lava.
There's a pretty cool video this morning of a car parked that was abandoned while people were evacuated being eaten by lava. It's like the movie The Blob.
Probably not so cool to them, I guess, huh, Steve?
No, probably not.
26 homes destroyed,
yes.
and this lava spew is 100 feet or more in the air in spots. And one particular development, like the, you know, Mahakahani Estates, whatever the name of the local place is.
Like a gated community?
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Has been blasted the worst by this. They apparently have the most lava running underneath their homes. Not a great selling point.
No. It's Leilani Estates.
Leilani Estates,
yes.
That's it.
Right next to Lanapuna Gardens, the two subdivisions that are being threatened.
Ah, okay. Next.
Quack.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Quack.
Oh, Quack, thanks. Tronc, the worst name for a corporation ever.
Agreed.
Can't they change it back now that knucklehead's out of the company?
Maybe now they can. Their union can vote to change it.
Tronc announced Sunday has agreed to recognize the Chicago Tribune Guild, the first newsroom union in 171 years of history for the paper. It seems like an odd time to start a union, or maybe it's the perfect time. I don't know.
That's the question.
Because, the newspaper business is in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
So I suppose you do it to protect your interests, but also doesn't it maybe kick the speed of the whole demise up?
It's also very rare for a shop to any kind of shop to voluntarily get the cooperation of the company like this without, you know, any sort of fight or, you know, disposition. So they were lucky in that regard.
I don't understand why it went down, do you? Why was there not a bigger fight over this?
Well, I think probably the company saw what happened to the Los Angeles Times. There was a lot of fighting that went on out there. And I think, you know, when the writing's on the wall, the writing's on the wall.
Well, you shouldn't write on the walls.
Yeah.
No, you really shouldn't.
Quack.
Thanks. Oh, the quack's back.
Ah.
Okay. The fall of this fall on Chicago's northerly island, Hamilton, the exhibition. Joe? No, we don't have that.
Sugar cane and rum and all the things he can't afford. Stand for every book he can get his hands on. Planning for the future, see him now as he stands on the bow of a ship headed for the north.
I want to see Hamilton again next week, I think. It'll be my second time. I'd see it every day.
So good.
It's tremendous.
You've still not seen it.
Oh,
what are you waiting on?
Gotta see it, Mary.
I don't know. Somebody to buy me tickets.
Yeah, it doesn't work that way.
Life's tough. Monday, hello.
Hamilton, the exhibition, an interactive, immersive, one-of-a-kind, only-in-Chicago attraction designed to tell the story of Alexander Hamilton and the founding of America. That's this fall on Northerly Island.
That's going to be cool. If you haven't seen the documentary yet about how he put it together and how he got the idea and he went to visit the gravesite of Alexander Hamilton.
Lin-Manuel Miranda.
Lin-Manuel Miranda. Yeah. It is a really cool backstory.
Yeah, I think it's on PBS did it.
Yes.
And
I don't
it's
get
available. It's available on demand.
I don't mean, I have it. I just don't understand it. I don't understand much.
You would understand this, Steve.
Actually, you know, I saw in TTW last week, which is really good.
With it.
It was a soundstage. It's actually from last fall with Richie Sambora and this guitarist girlfriend of his, Orienthe.
Oh.
A lovely young woman from, I don't know, New Zealand or Australia.
Mm-hmm.
And it was great. Richie Sambora's new solo band with her is ROS.
Oh.
It was cool.
I like Quack. Soundstage.
Concert for Soundstage. Didn't you do a Soundstage with Doll?
Yes, we did.
Where
who
was that?
Who was the guest?
Oh, God.
Was it Oscar the Grouch and his band?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, so
I'll have to ask somebody about who it was.
That's all right. It's not
yeah,
that important.
Sorry. Quack.
And finally, Mayor Rudy Giuliani had quite an interesting weekend. He recently joined President Trump's legal team. He tried again yesterday to straighten out what the president knew, when he knew it, about a payment of a pornographic film actress known as Stormy Daniels, who made a very strong appearance on Saturday Night Live.
Yes.
And an epic cold open to the show, one of the best ever.
Agreed.
But Rudy Giuliani yesterday, in an interview with George Stephanopoulos, we could just play the entire Stephanopoulos interview. It's long, but it's the type of thing to make your head actually spin completely around 360 degrees. Because he said things that he shouldn't have said. He said things that made no sense. He it was quite odd, and it doesn't actually help the mayor or the president in the defense of whatever he's trying to defend at this point. Mm-hmm. But among the things Rudy Giuliani said in an answer to a George Stephanopoulos question is, he may have been lying about other women, or may have been payoffs about other women. And the one thing that nobody's talking about is, I don't think it's all that pleasant in the private to residents at the White House these days. Thinking that might be a little tense.
Yeah, I would think so. By the
way, that Melania didn't know what she signed up for, but all of this becoming public, I'm guessing it's a little tense.
In the aforementioned Stormy Daniels cold open cameo on SNL, Kate McKinnon playing Rudy Giuliani.
Tremendous.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, she's the best. Just absolutely the best. One of the greatest ever on that show. And, you know, here's the other thing nobody's talking about. Isn't it a bit ironic that Trump beats Hillary Clinton in an election Hillary Clinton should never have lost had she not been a horrific candidate? Now Trump has to cite precedents that Bill Clinton used to save his own behind.
Henry. Just
you can't make it up.
The irony
you can't
is
make it
insane.
Up. That's your top 6 at 6.
That's it.
That's all today for the top 6 at 6.
No more.
Sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60 Minute Men.
Top 6 again brought to you by American Weathermakers. All right, we got a continuation of a computer problem. So you want to tell me what you have to tell me now? Don't you have some live endorsement of some sort you need to tell me?
I can tell you, though, if you want to see any pictures from my stepdaughter's confirmation this weekend, you can go to WGNradio.com, Steve Cochran Show Facebook page, or Steve Cochran Show Twitter.
I've not been I'm not a Catholic.
Mm-hmm.
So is a confirmation a long process?
It is. It was 79 degrees in that church, 2 hours on Friday night.
Is it like a graduation of high school or college where, you know, they do 1,000 kids at a time?
So there were 60 kids at our confirmation.
60?
At Sacred Heart in Winnetka. But the bishop, the Jerry something.
Bishop Jerry?
Yeah, Bishop Jerry. He
ask questions to the kids?
He
like
didn't
they
ask
usually
any
do?
Questions. No, but he did.
Which what, freaks them out.
They did tell us that when confirmation season is over, he will have done 600 children. And I was kind of, you know, 2 hours on a Friday night gets long. The day before, he had done 280 kids at some parish in the city.
And is each kid individually recognized
yes.
in some way?
Yeah.
You get their confirmation name?
Yep.
And
Catherine's is Francis, because her grandpa's middle name was Francis.
See, Dave, if I was Catholic, I'd go with Kareem. I like to skyhook.
As long as a saint is involved, you're okay.
Stephen Lee Kareem.
Stephen
Cochran.
Lee
I don't think there's a Saint Kareem.
There's not.
Yeah, I don't think
I
don't so. Think
oh, you
so.
Should. Did you see a skyhook? It was very revolutionary.
See patron saint
changed
thing?
The game back in the 70s.
My sister was her confirmation sponsor, though, so it was really sweet.
I saw one of those photos. I saw the picture of your sister and Catherine and the Pope.
Yes, the bishop.
Oh, the bishop. He looked like the Pope.
Bishop Jerry. Anyway, the picture.
He didn't look anything like the Pope.
Well, kind of like
he kind of he's wearing the garb.
Yes.
Yeah.
I believe you said you thought maybe an actor had been cast to play the bishop because he looked very much like a bishop.
So maybe Stephanie went out and got some costumes for people and somebody
was
dressed
spot
up.
Spot on the app. Anyway, the pictures are at WGN Radio and our Facebook page.
All right. And Twitter, follow me at Cochran Show.
He's Northwestern Medicine VP. Call Dr. Morse right now. Dr. Morse.
Most, we have important things to talk to Kevin Moses morning about. Good morning, Doc. How are you?
I'm doing great. How about yourself?
Doing fine, but we have a sudden topic of breaking news variety.
Wow.
Yadier Molina, the Cardinals catcher, apparently got some good news late last night that they will be able to save the Twins. However, he took a direct shot into his little Yadier area and had to be rushed to the hospital for emergency surgery.
Wow.
So we've got a long conversation here off-air with Andrea as we try to explain the difference between boys and girls.
Some questions about the impact and the hit. And,
well, but you know what? It brings back stories, right?
Right,
so Dave
right.
and I are both talking. Dave and I had similar experiences in different parts of the country.
Right.
I was hit with a line drive when I was about 12, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
And, Doc, I remember vividly telling my cousins, get me ice water. I don't know why I wanted the water part, because the ice would have been the important part of that.
Yeah.
And then there was a little cousin who was too little to play, who was like 6 or 7. We still laugh about this. He brought me leaves.
Oh!
I don't know what the leaves are supposed to do.
Right.
But, Dave, you actually got a pitch in that area.
I got a fastball. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I was down.
But you had adults around. I didn't have any adults. You had adults around who should have saved you.
I was the adult who shouldn't have been walking in that area, but we're getting ready for a game. The kids
were
warming up.
So you were coaching at that point.
I was coaching.
Okay.
And I was down, face down in the grass for, I think, an hour, thinking, I really should have someone take me to the hospital, but I can't get up. And
by the way, you guys are both very good. I mean, you're no Dak Most, but... Thank you for the explanation. Because I was asking them, can he still have kids? Can he
when
still,
a mommy and daddy love each other very
can
much.
Can he still...
the injury was... The surgery was for a pelvic injury with traumatic hematoma.
Yeah.
Oh.
Now, what's a hematoma, Doug?
Collection of blood. He broke some blood vessels, and they all kind of... big collection of blood. Yep.
So, traumatic injury in that area of a male. That's not good. You don't want that.
No, you don't. No.
Every guy just going, oof.
Oh, yeah, change the subject.
I can imagine. Or I can't.
All right. Well, Doc, how was your weekend?
My weekend was great. Yeah, hey, weather like this, it's finally been nice to have a complete weekend of good weather and opportunity to get outside. Yep.
All right, so here's what we're going to do. We want to talk about nurses for a second. Nurses Week this week?
Yeah, it is. So... You know, Florence Nightingale, it's nice that nurses pick the Nurses Week around someone that they really respected. And, you know, Florence Nightingale was the start of modern nursing, and her birthday is May 12th, and that's the week that we honor nurses. And we give them a full week. You know, this is not just a nurse's day, but you know, we have 3 million nurses in the United States. If you know one, go out of your way to find them, to reach out to them, to say, hey, thank you for everything you do, because... I say it all the time. Doctors write orders and nurses deliver care. And we could not do what we do without them. They're phenomenal people, very demanding job. If you think about a nurse, you know, a cardiologist will go see a patient. They know a lot about the heart. Orthopedists will go. They know a lot about the joints. You know, nurses have to take care of these patients who are in the hospital that have multiple problems. So not only do their cognitive and knowledge-based skills have to be very good, it's a very demanding job from a physical point of view,
sure.
Moving patients and that. So people probably don't give nurses the respect they should, but this is one week to really reach out and say thank you.
Yeah, and they see, do, and experience things that doctors would run the other direction from.
Yeah, yeah.
So, Mary Vanderbilt.
Oh, I just want to say my sister, Donna Toshin, has been a nurse for over 35 years, and she posted today that she can't think of too many other jobs that get to touch people's lives when they're at their most vulnerable to keep people, make patients happy. But the funny thing is my nephew, Robert Koch, is a doctor in Canada, and he commented to my sister's post, and he said, I was in the hospital the other day, and my resident asked why nurses get a whole week when doctors only get one day on May 1st. And I told her, this resident, just do this job a bit longer, and you will see the amazing things.
You'll get it. It may take a while, but you'll get it. And I love the fact that your sister or sister-in-law?
This is my sister, Donna.
Your sister's been doing it that long, and she still loves it.
Oh, yeah. We have so many nurses in my family. Her daughter's a nurse now, and I have nieces, nephews, and doctors, and my family's full of health people.
Well, and a shout out to
and then there's me.
A shout out to my daughter-in-law Lauren.
Yes,
yeah.
Nurse too.
Pediatric nurse at Northwestern. Genius. Well done by you, Doc. And we salute the nurses. All right, we come back after the break here. We'll do traffic and stuff, but and a preview of the headlines, Steve, in just a second. We're going to talk about bugs. Summer bugs.
Oh, no.
Summer bugs, summer insects.
I hate bugs.
Mosquitoes, all that. Now, at times like this, I think of the words of the Dalai Lama.
First, mosquito come. Sometimes I give some blood. Then second come. Third come. That difficult. Still difficult.
That's the Dalai Lama speaking of being attacked by three separate mosquitoes. Mm-hmm. And of course, when I think of the Dalai Lama, I think of this.
So I tell them I'm a pro, Jack. And who do you think they give me? The Dalai Lama himself. The 12th son of the Lama. The flowing robes, the grace, bald. Striking. So I'm on a first tee with him. I give him the driver. He hauls off and whacks one. Big hitter, the Lama. Long. Into a 10,000-foot crevice right at the base of this glacier. Do you know what the Lama says?
No.
Gunga Galunga. Gunga Gunga La Gunga. So we finish 18, and he's going to stiff me. And I say, hey, Lama, hey, how about a little something, you know, for the effort, you know? And he says, oh, there won't be any money. But when you die, on your deathbed, you will receive total consciousness. So I got that going for me, which is nice.
Which is nice. Steve, one of the greatest scenes of all time. Back to Dr. Kevin Most. Doc, the text question of the day. Things you regret saying to your husband or your boyfriend. Okay? That's the text question of the day. Here's a quick story why. Maureen and Amy were in Minneapolis over the weekend where we lived for several years for a wedding. And there was a couple that were friends. And I used to give the dude a hard time because he actually looked older than I did. So I said to Maureen, I said, well, did you see Dane, D-A-N-E? Did you see Dane? I bet he really looks old now. And she said, well, he's always gotten up early like you. That's why you both look older than you are.
Oh.
Oops. Oh, is that why?
But did she tag it with, but you look so good.
She
you
tried.
Look so much better
she
than
She tried
him.
To shovel her way out, yeah, but it was too late.
Too late.
Sponsored by Northwestern Medicine, the pursuit of better health care starts here. All right, Doc, let's talk bugs.
Yep. So many people probably saw the front page story, at least it was on the New York Times, and I believe it was on like page 3 for the Tribune. You know, the CDC has come out and said, hey, you know what, you guys, we need you all to be a little bit more aware of insect-borne illnesses because we've seen the numbers of these illnesses triple over the last 6 to 7 years. And when they say that, it kind of gets all of our attention, especially in the healthcare field, because a lot of these go undiagnosed. So that number of tripling is probably more like 5 times, maybe even 10 times higher. So I thought we would take a minute and at least get some people about awareness of what they can do to prevent these, because many of them can't even be treated.
So we have more bugs, or we have bugs with more disease?
Well, we have more bugs that are coming into areas that they didn't come to in the past.
Okay.
For give you an example.
That's why I want a bug wall.
Yeah.
I'm trying to get Trump to build a bug wall.
Yep. It's got to be pretty high. The Zika virus, remember 2016?
Sure.
We all had.
Yeah.
Well, that mosquito will be found all the way into southern Illinois this year. Now, I'm not saying we're going to have Zika virus in southern Illinois, but the mosquito that carries that virus will be all the way up into Illinois.
We don't need that. Stay in Florida.
Oh. Yep. Absolutely. Whether it's global warming, whether it's, you know, travel, there's a lot of different things that are making this more of the world smaller and these global illnesses starting to come into places that we don't see.
All right. So the old days used to spray with these cloud chemicals.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yep.
you'd see the truck coming down the street and they'd spray and a cloud would be up there and the kids would run through the cloud. Bad idea.
Was that DEET?
Yeah.
Is that what they would spray?
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what do we do now?
So really now it's more about personal protection. If you saw what happened in Florida, they went back to doing that. They went back to spraying. You know, for people now, assuredly, you know, make sure you have DEET on if you're going to go out. And I always tell parents, remember the number 30. 30, 30, 30. You're going to put sunscreen on your child 30 minutes before they're going to go out. You're going to use an SPF sunscreen of 30 and a DEET of 30%, not higher. You don't need a higher DEET percentage. You don't need a higher SPF. So 30, 30, 30.
Okay, that's good to know.
That's a big thing. And then really try to minimize the times that you're out where the mosquitoes are going to be there, right? So stay away from dawn and dusk. That's when the mosquitoes are the most active. If you're going to go into a wooded area, it's probably one of the most important. Make sure you're dressed appropriately. So it's all about avoidance and protection because, like I said, a lot of these you can't treat.
Doc, real quick, can flies, is this a truth or is this a myth that flies can transport disease? So when you swat a fly, obviously if you kill it with your hand, wash your hands. And I want to ask you about bee stings too.
Absolutely. So flies are very dirty. Obviously, you see where you see flies. So they definitely can carry bacteria. So if you kill a fly on your body or you use your hands to kill it, definitely wash your hands because you're going to have bacteria. Flies don't bite us that much. There are some flies that do. But for the most part, it's going to be what's on their body. So definitely wash your hands. Flies are filthy.
All right. We all want to wear shorts all summer. But then you got your Lyme disease issue from deer ticks, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Lyme disease is probably a big one. You know, we all think of ticks and you think of the big wood tick, the one that you can obviously go, oh my God, there's a huge tick on you. But the deer tick is very small. So really important there, if you're going to go into a wooded area, when you come out, change your clothes when you get home, shower, and do a good skin exam to make sure that you don't have ticks. Lyme disease can be treated if caught early, but the ones that aren't treated can have lifelong illnesses and can be very serious. And it says, well, we don't have to worry about it. You told us before about this rash to look for, the bullseye rash. We have to realize that about 80% of people with Lyme disease aren't going to get that rash. So the 20% that get it, hey, that's a layup. The rest of us have to be thinking and looking towards that, and we can diagnose it with blood disease if you have the symptoms.
Yeah, and you should be checked for ticks by a friend. What's that country song? I'd like to check you for ticks.
Yeah.
Brad Paisley, that was it.
Yeah, the bee sting was the last thing. If you get stung by a bee, a lot of people don't know if they're allergic until they get stung.
Yep. So, if you don't know whether you're allergic or not, you're going to find out pretty quickly, obviously. And you're going to get swelling usually is the main thing. Bee stings as well as insect stings, a lot of the response you see, that redness, that swelling, that itching, and even some of the pain is caused by the release of histamine like we talked about last week. So bites in that, I tell people, a little baking soda, a little water, make a little paste, put that on there, take antihistamines, you're going to minimize everything. For the bee stings, people always say, I need to make sure that the stinger's out, and you should. You'll rub your hand over it and you can feel it. But for the most part, that stinger is going to come out, and really it's going to be ice on it initially to minimize the swelling in that area, and then if you want to block some of the histamine, a little baking soda paste is perfect.
And don't be itching, right? Itching makes it worse?
Itching makes it worse, yeah. The more you itch, it's like, oh, this feels so good, and as soon as you stop, it's going to itch even more. Or if you take a hot shower, you're going to come out, it's going to itching. Histamine is released by contact, scratching, and heat. So those are the two things you want to stay away from.
West Nile, still an issue?
West Nile will give you a big issue, absolutely. The thing with West Nile is, everybody that's sitting right next to you, Steve, I bet you if we test them for West Nile, they would all have test positive that they've had West Nile in the past.
Well, definitely Dave and Steve. There's no question about those two.
Yeah, and Andre and you. You've been on golf courses. You spend time outside.
Nah, not me.
The vast majority of people with West Nile never know they have it. It's a very small percentage that get the bad encephalitis and the brain portions of it. And again, no treatment for that, so it goes back to avoidance and protection.
The clothes, we have these SPF clothes.
Yeah.
Outside of wearing a bug hat, are there bug protective clothes?
No, not really. I mean, I don't think that they're making DEET-infested clothes or anything like that.
That wouldn't be great for your skin, I suppose.
No.
Okay. We talked about Zika. We talked about what you should do in general for a preventative. Why don't we just for a second spend time on malaria, and I don't mean the one when married Trump.
It's interesting. We don't think of malaria. When we think of malaria, we think of Africa. And I can tell you a very personal story here at CDH is one of our ear, nose, and throat doctors, a phenomenal physician, was sitting in my office. He wasn't feeling well, and his daughter wasn't feeling well, and they had just got back from the Dominican Republic. And I found out a few days later they were both diagnosed with malaria, and she was actually in the hospital down at Lurie on a ventilator. So, it was serious. But they didn't even think, we're going to Dominican Republic. Now we have to look and say, wow, we look at that malaria map, Dominican Republic's on there, Mexico is on there. So it's really an awareness now of where you're traveling in the world and what illnesses can be there. He said right now, hey, I tell everybody that's going to Dominican Republic, make sure you start taking malaria pills as if you were going to go to Africa, because the world's starting to get smaller.
And a texter asked about vitamin B or garlic pills. Preventative at all, or is that just fantasy?
More fantasy than anything. You know, vitamin B is great for your, you know, energy. Garlic pills, not going to do too much.
It's Dr. Kevin Most. He is a complete expert on these things because he spends a lot of time doing research on his own golf course, golf courses. And thanks for the information, and happy Nurse Week.
Yeah. Hey, I got one other thing, too.
Oh, what's that?
I played golf this weekend with Dave Freitag, a phenomenal dermatologist from Florida. Really nice guy. And we're talking about the show, and he's like, oh, well, you're going to talk about melanoma tomorrow, aren't you? And I'm like, no, you know, I'm going to do that. He goes, you know, tomorrow is Melanoma Monday. The first Monday in May is Melanoma Awareness. And I dropped the ball. So I said, we will cover it soon, I assure you.
Only a dermatologist would know that today is Melanoma Monday.
Yeah.
Well, it's a big deal. That's serious stuff. Now, he's a derm in Florida or here?
Yep, he's a derm in Florida.
Okay.
Yep.
All right, Doc. Great stuff as always. Thank you.
You got it. We'll talk to you soon.
Dr. Kevin Most, sponsored by Northwestern Medicine. The pursuit of better healthcare starts here.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
His mother told him someday you will be a man, and you will be the leader of a big old band. Many people coming from miles around to hear you play your music when the sun goes down. Maybe someday your name will be in lights and Johnny be good tonight. Go, go, go.
From the top of the state to the bottom of the state, go, Illinois, go, celebrating a bicentennial.
Go, go, go.
And our friend Corey Jobe is here. Corey is the director of tourism for the state and the old director of the Illinois Office of Tourism, the head kahuna, the big cheese. And nice to see you, as always.
Good morning. Thank you for having me back.
I want to remind people of the text question, too. I have a second. Over the weekend, my wife was nice enough to say, while visiting Minneapolis, that some old friends of ours, the husband of which is probably 10 years older than me, the reason he and I look older than we do is because we get up so early. Mm-hmm. Problem on two fronts. Don't say that out loud. And secondarily, she's right. Both of those are issues.
But what she really meant was...
312-981-7200. Things I never should have said to my husband or boyfriend. Okay. We'll get to those coming back. How are you, man?
I'm good. Beautiful morning.
In your Chicago Tribune yesterday in the travel section, bicentennial bucket list of great architectural sites.
Yes, we've partnered with the Tribune. This is an ongoing series that they're doing all year long to celebrate the bicentennial. And this week is National Travel and Tourism Week. So to kind of dovetail into that, we're announcing our new Frank Lloyd Wright Trail. So we have Wisconsin lays claim to Frank Lloyd Wright, but we have the most sites of Frank Lloyd Wright architecture than any other place in the world.
Do you have to be an architect to appreciate architecture?
No.
Because I got to tell you, I'm the Farnsworth House in Plano. I get it. I get that it's a cool piece of art. It looks like a house somebody started and didn't finish. Okay, that's what it looks like to me. Right?
Oh yeah. Now,
I was at the Farnsworth House last summer. It's really unique. I mean, but I.
I wouldn't expect. Listen.
Why you know I'd say that?
I wouldn't expect you as director of tourism to go.
Say it's a
yeah,
dump.
That one sucks. No, I really wouldn't expect that.
Wow, but you know, when I was there, there were architecture students from all around the world.
Sure.
So it's quite a piece. I'm not an architect, but you know, people love it. I promote it. So it's
who's your favorite architect? I like Mike Brady.
Oh.
Remember Mr. Brady?
Oh, Mr. Brady from the Brady Bunch.
That's a really good question.
It was a cool house.
We have so many great architects in Chicago.
I would say Frank Lloyd Wright.
I would say Helmut Jahn.
Good call. Look at you dropping the Helmut Jahn.
I did a paper on architecture in Chicago.
Oh. The Frank Lloyd Wright Home and Studio in Oak Park on Chicago Avenue is the go-to, right?
That's the go-to. That's kind of the mothership, as we say. We'll be there this morning and announcing the trail. And it's just a way that, you know, the 150th of Frank Lloyd Wright was last year. And we saw all the momentum and the interest, especially from our target markets around the world. And we said, why don't we really begin to connect visitors on a trail, give them a way to travel the state? The goal here, obviously, is to keep visitors traveling the state, keeping them in the state longer, overnight stays, and spending more money. So that's the point of the trail.
That's your evil genius?
That's my evil genius.
Okay.
On a Monday morning.
We're sitting in an architectural treasure right here.
Here we are, the Tribune Tower.
Number 20 on the bucket list, the Tribune Tower.
just stunning, stunning building.
Yeah, it really is.
It is beautiful.
And even after they tear down 90% of it and rebuild it, it's still going to be a stunning building.
I still, when people, last week, someone came in and they take pictures of the lobby because there's cool things to see in the lobby and etchings on the wall. And I always stop and I'll tell someone, you know, either a fun fact about the building or take a look on the outside and check out the different, you know, stones that are embedded in the facade. It's just a beautiful building.
What's so special about Peoria City Hall?
I was just in Peoria last week.
What's so special about that, mister?
I don't know.
Well, let me tell you. Dedicated with great fanfare in 1899, this seat of municipal... No, I'm not reading this. I'm just saying this off the top of my head. This seat of municipal government got enough votes last year to beat more than 200 competitors for best city hall in the country.
Oh. It's a new... I'm going to... Steve, I'm going to use that when I'm selling Peoria now. You know, I say that Galena is the one of the most romantic main streets in America, and Quincy is the cornerstone of architecture.
You got a new one to add now, don't you, buddy?
I've got a new one. I like those
Peoria
little...
City Hall.
Peoria City Hall.
The Illinois State Capitol is also recognized.
For what?
Are you familiar with any of this material?
I'm kidding.
Designed by a little remembered French immigrant, Alfred Henri Picanon. The Capitol, Illinois' sixth such building, took 20 years to construct, starting in 1868. In contrast to the Greek Revival austerity of Illinois' old state capitol, the Fifth State House, this flashier version was meant to be a Gilded Age showstopper. I think of you as that way. You're kind of a Gilded Age showstopper.
Wow. Are you calling me...
I'm calling you exactly what I said. What's the Glessner House? Do we know the Glessner House?
Oh, that's in the South Loop.
The South Loop.
That is one of the coolest buildings. Is it the oldest house in Chicago?
I don't know.
France. Okay.
I need to get up on
you need
my
to start
story.
Lying. You need to start lying.
Well, I tell the truth.
The history of that home is absolutely magnificent. Can I add something for Corey's sake here?
Yeah.
So Frances Glessner, who lived there, was the woman who basically created the way crime scenes are investigated across the world.
Really?
Yes. Yeah, she was the daughter of Mr. Glessner. I forget. I don't know.
Bob and Connie Glessner.
Bob and
their little girl.
That home is just amazing, though, and it's still pristine, and they still give tours, and it's still exactly the way it was, you know, with the wooding and everything inside. There's a stable in the back, and it backs up to Hillary Clinton Park. But yeah, the girl who lived there created crime scene the way that they're.
How wild.
That they're
what a nice,
studied.
Cool little anecdote
is
there,
cool?
Andrea. It is Andrea, isn't it?
Yes.
When we come back, I want you to remind people where you're going to be today, and I'm going to hit you with a few more of these, because there's one on here that really surprises me. It's an architectural wonder.
Perfect.
Because it's about 10 minutes old.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Did you create
this?
Uh-oh.
No, not at all.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Corey Jobs here. He's the Illinois Director of Tourism. And what are you doing today? Plug it again.
Well, we're kicking off National Travel and Tourism Week.
This is Nurses Week.
I know.
You know, this is Teachers Week.
Nurses are
very
important.
You know, this is Melanoma Monday.
All of these causes and occupations are
very
important.
And every one of the people involved in those are going
to
want to travel.
That's right. They all will travel and tour the
state. See what I did there?
There you go. I like that. So, yes, National Travel and Tourism Week. It's the 27th year. U.S. Travel Association partners with all 50 states. And this year's theme is travel then and now. And that dovetails quite nicely into our announcement of our Frank Lloyd Wright Trail to celebrate the state's bicentennial. So there's a lot of things we're covering off on this week.
How many friends? I know the one in Oak Park I've been to, the one in Kankakee.
There's over 500. No, there's nothing.
How many Frank
There's
Lloyd
13
Wright,
sites that are open to the public in several communities around the state. So the trail will connect. There's a 110-mile trail from Chicago Oak Park out to Rockford with stops in Belvedere, Geneva.
Cool.
And then we do about – there's a 240-mile trail that takes you from Oak Park, Chicago Oak Park down to Springfield.
Do you have to wear a suit and tie?
No.
I mean, as travel and tourism guy, shouldn't you be like in shorts and a Cabana Boy shirt and a floppy hat?
I wish. Unfortunately, I have to wear a suit and tie.
Hmm.
But we welcome business travel so they can wear a suit and tie. And we welcome all leisure visitors to our state, too.
Yeah, it's
all
everybody, important. In other words.
Everybody can come to Illinois. We want everybody in Illinois spending their money.
The Sky Deck is an architectural wonder, according to this bucket list in the Chicago Tribune.
Yes.
Number 18 on the list, the Sky Deck at Willis Tower.
That's cool.
This is the glass thing you can lay on?
Mm-hmm. So we just hosted...
What's the fine line between architectural wonder and gimmick?
Well, I think you can view all the wonderful architecture from the box, the glass box.
Have you done it?
I've done it a few times. I've had...
You're not freaked out by heights?
No, I like the tilt better. That's more of an adventure, I think. 30 degrees out at the Hancock.
Oh, yeah. Cool.
But they're all very unique. Hey, visitors from all around the world love going to the Willis Tower.
Why do you have to be laying out on glass? I mean, you know, I don't know.
Just to say I've done it. Like, I've stepped out. I've stepped out on glass.
We should do
overlooking.
You should
been talk of doing a live show
from there.
Oh, that'd be fantastic.
I want to be a guest, though, if you do that.
Well, yeah, listen to me.
You can set it up.
I want to be invited to the party.
I want to be invited to the party. That's right.
You don't have a fear of heights, do you?
No.
Okay.
No, but I do have a fear of dying.
Okay.
Now, you know, the world's largest loop roller coaster and the longest, you're upside down on a roller coaster in the world, is debuting next month in Six Flags Great American Gurnee. It's called the Mardi Gras Hangover.
I would die. That I would physically
now
die
there.
On.
You want to go on that?
No, I'm good.
Oh, okay.
I have a show that day.
You do a show hanging upside down from the middle of the loop.
Yeah, I like the name Mardi Gras Hangover.
The Pierre Menard House, the Riverside Water Tower, the Vandalia State House, the Architecture Foundation River Cruise. We get to look at all the great architecture, the Egyptian Theater. I mean, there's a great list here.
There's a terrific list. I love that series that the paper's doing. It's good. It gets
the
people out and about.
List.
The bucket list. A lot of things they're covering off on all season. And really, people do travel for architecture. I mean, you know, it's what's great about it, the international visitor, they don't see lines of a state. So Wisconsin has several. So we're hoping to work with the state of Wisconsin and do multi-state itineraries for international visitors.
Typical Wisconsin, riding our coattails.
Typical Wisconsin. But yeah, it's just a great way to connect the communities and get people out.
Well, happy anniversary. Bicentennial anniversary.
Bicentennial. It's a big year in Illinois.
It's Travel and Tourism Week. Corey Joe will be running around trying to get you to give him money and leave it here.
We'll be doing stops in Oak Park, Rockford, Springfield and Kankakee, announcing the trail this week.
You're a fine ambassador, my friend.
Thank you so much.
You're always welcome here, even when you beg to be on.
Thank you. Have a great day. Happy
Thanks,
Monday.
Corey.
Happy
Thank
Nurses Week, Teachers Week, but most importantly for this
National
segment,
Travel and Tourism Week. Thank you.
Yes, what you said. Let's come back with the headlines and our friend Ryan Nobles from CNN coming up on 720 WGN.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Rudy Giuliani over the weekend said, I'm mostly focused on the law here. I haven't had time to come up with any facts. What? Ryan Nobles from CNN joins us now. That's almost an exact quote, Ryan. In a weekend of Rudy Giuliani fantastic appearances, at what point do we go Anthony Scaramucci on this guy and go, thank you for your time, take your parting gifts and go back to New York?
I mean, that's a great question. I think there's a lot of people wondering that. Obviously, the public perception of Rudy's role in all of this has been that he's damaged the president as it relates to the Russia investigation and some other things, the Stormy Daniels situation. But I think the big difference here between Anthony Scaramucci and Rudy Giuliani is that it seems that there's a direct line between the president and Rudy. And we don't know how much of this is Rudy going off on his own or if this is the president himself planting a seed in Rudy's mind and telling him, go out and fight this battle for me and make this point because I can't make it myself.
You guys this morning ran a montage, and I'm sure it's still running on CNN this morning and throughout the day, a montage of the president saying something and then Rudy saying something and the phraseology being exact.
Right, exactly. And that's and what Rudy Giuliani's told many people is that he and there's no daylight between him and the president, that this is basically the president and him, you know, hatching a plan for this, you know, kind of public relations campaign. But that being said, Steve, even if it is what the president wants Rudy to do, and even if he's basically giving him the talking points, if Donald Trump feels as though the reception that Rudy Giuliani is getting is not a positive one, that doesn't mean he still won't clip him and leave him on the outside looking in. So, you know, I do think that he's in a volatile situation here. There's definitely an argument to be made about whether or not he's helping or hurting the president. And he's become, all of a sudden, one of the most important players in this conversation.
There's a couple of remarkable things that came out of the This Week with George Stephanopoulos interview, one of which was Rudy Giuliani saying that there may be other women the president had to pay off. Which I'm guessing didn't make Melania all that happy. And then in addition to that, talking about the fact that everybody lies. Everybody lies. Everybody lies. Hey, George, lighten up. Everybody lies. Here's the deal. We have moved the line backwards, and we've taken the line down so far with this president to the point where the standards of the president of the United States aren't even recognizable anymore. We cannot say it's okay for the president of the United States to regularly lie to the American people. And that's exactly what he said yesterday.
Well, and, you know, it's an administration-wide problem, right? So, and you know, it starts at the top, and then, you know, basically any aide that's connected to the administration, it's very difficult to take what they have to say at face value. You've got to check, double-check, and triple-check, and even then you probably aren't necessarily getting the full story. And I think what's happening increasingly more is that, you know, these administration officials whose job it is to go out and speak on behalf of the president are losing a layer of credibility, and you can't even necessarily trust what they have to say. And in some cases, I'm not even sure that's their fault. I think they may be given the incorrect information and then are forced to run with it. So, you know, I think you're absolutely right, Steve, that to a certain extent, people have become desensitized to this. You know, it's just another lie to put on top of the big, big pile of lies. But I think that's part of our job, is to make sure that, you know, we do not, you know, hold back at all, and make sure that people understand where the inconsistencies lie. You know, you can decide for yourself whether or not you think it's important, but I believe it's still important to continue to make sure people know where they exist.
And the amount of time that's wasted here, you think about it. Richard Nixon lied. We wasted years before he finally stepped down. Why? Protecting himself. Bill Clinton lied. We wasted years before he was almost thrown out. Mm-hmm. And the amount of time wasted was unbelievable. And now, all of this is a waste of time for Donald Trump to protect himself, and government business gets shoved to the side.
Oh, yeah. And over the weekend, there was the possibility that Trump might sit down with Mueller. In fact, I think at one point he tweeted or said it. He said, oh, I look forward to it. I'll sit down with him. But then Giuliani says he'd plead the fifth. This morning, again, Giuliani saying that Trump doesn't have to sit down with Mueller. So I'm just, what is the truth at this point?
Well, that, I think, is the best example of how wildly inconsistent this administration is. Basically, Donald Trump himself doesn't want to seem to be cowardly in the face of the Mueller investigation. So every time he's asked directly, every single time the president's been asked directly about whether or not he'd sit down with Mueller, he said, of course I will. I have nothing to hide. I absolutely will sit down. But every other person around him has cautioned him against this and have warned that it's not just going to be that easy of a process. There's going to be all these stipulations. If it does happen, they're going to want the list of questions ahead of time. And one of the big problems I think the president is facing is that there's a real divide within his own counsel as to the best way to handle this. That's one of the reasons you saw Ty Cobb, he of the handlebar mustache, pushed out of the White House counsel's office this week, because he was strongly of the opinion that it was wise for the president to sit down with a special counsel, and this new group of lawyers he has seems to be opposed to that. But, of course, that's going to be kind of the definitive moment in the Mueller investigation. That may be what we're waiting for before all this wraps up. And there's obviously a lot, you know, he enters into that conversation at his own peril, because, as we've already outlined this morning, he has a very difficult time sticking to the truth whenever asked a direct question.
Come back more with Ryan Nobles in just a second. Ryan Nobles from CNN, all over your social media. Yeah, and by the way, you know, Monday is generally his day off, and he still is nice enough to come on the show. So we like Ryan.
Thank you, Ryan.
A lot of these people we're not so fond of, but we like Ryan.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Text question: what's something you said to your husband or your boyfriend you shouldn't have said? 815, I told my husband I didn't like his name, Doug. After our son was born, we named our son Doug.
Oh.
I now have a big Doug and a little Doug.
Mm-hmm.
For the rest of his life, he has to go,
Look at her. She doesn't like either one of us.
Ryan Nobles from CNN rejoins us. Your wife's never said anything to you she regrets, has she, Ryan?
I mean, my wife's definitely been critical of me over time. I don't think that she's ever regretted that criticism, to be honest.
It's tough when
I don't
she's
know
right.
If there's ever been a time where she said, boy, I wish I hadn't said that. No, she wanted to make sure that I knew that.
Right. What did you do this weekend? Did you have a good weekend?
Yeah, we had a pretty good weekend. I mean, the one thing my wife does that I think is interesting is if she has a dream in which I do something wrong during that dream, she's mad at me for about a week.
Yeah.
That's a big problem in our marriage.
Yeah. You have to go, hey, honey, I didn't do it. You did it in your head. It was a dream.
Exactly.
All right. Ryan Noble's with us. We're talking about the mess that is Washington. All right. So here's the hypocrisy. There is a woman who is a lifer at the CIA who is teed up to be the next director. And Ryan, her name is?
Gina Haspel. Yes.
30 years, I think. Correct? 30 years at the CIA?
Yeah.
She was a part of operating a black site in the early 2000s after 9/11. So therefore, it's quite obvious that the question of torture will come up during her confirmation hearings. And in no small part, the president of the United States says he thinks we should be torturing more. Will you stand up against him as the head of the CIA? That's got to be a big part of the discussion. And why would we believe that you would, since you were in the CIA when this went on?
Right.
Isn't that what we're dealing with here?
It's interesting you brought this up today because I've actually been doing some reporting on this morning, and I talked to a Senate Democratic aide that's directly connected to the confirmation process. And basically the Democratic thinking on this is it's Gina Haspel's nomination to lose. They feel that she has the credentials necessary to become the next CIA director, but it is this answer of torture and her role in the RDI program that she's going to have a clear message about during her confirmation hearing. And she's going to have to denounce that practice. You know, even if she was directly involved in it, she's got to say that it was a bad idea and it is something the United States is no longer should be involved in. And if she does that, there'll be enough Democrats there to confirm her. They'll take her at her word and believe that she should have the job. If she waffles on that at all, I think that you're going to see Democrats run away in big numbers and maybe even some Republicans. And these red state Democrats that felt comfortable voting for Mike Pompeo for Secretary of State, they've actually kind of got a little bit of cover there in their home states. And if they've got something that they can specifically point to with Gina Haspel to say, this isn't something I'm comfortable with, and they can explain that to their voters, they won't hesitate to vote against her. So she's got an opportunity here. There is a path, which is one of the reasons that I think the White House has not abandoned her yet, but she's going to have to perform in this hearing, and she's going to have a clear and very crystallized understanding of her role in that program and what she thinks about it going forward.
Well, the hypocrisy of the Senate in particular on this needs to be brought to light. In the days after 9/11, in the first two or three years after 9/11, this was a different world. Mm-hmm. And you can say that I'm absolutely against torture, and in no circumstances would I approve waterboarding. Waterboarding wasn't considered torture then. It just wasn't. There's
right.
a great documentary on the CIA directors called Spy Masters, which ran on Showtime for a while. As a matter of fact, Michael Hayden, former CIA director, is going to be on the show later today, and we can talk to him about it. But for everybody that wants to stand up and say, oh, my God, I can't believe you did this. You're a terrible person. She did her job as was approved by the president of the United States at the time, which, frankly, was appropriate for the time with what we knew then.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, in the minutes and in the months after 9/11, our perception of what was acceptable and wasn't acceptable. I mean, we had just saw, you know, these two iconic structures come tumbling down in the most important city in the world, no offense, Chicago. And I think that, you know, we made decisions as a result of that. You know, having the benefit of hindsight now, there's obviously a different perception of how we should handle these situations going forward. And I think that's what she has to demonstrate, that she understands that the difference in the climate now, and that she and she knows probably better than anyone what the best way is to go about getting this intelligence that's going to be important for the protection of this country. And I think that's the argument that she's going to have to make. We've tried this, and it didn't work. This is what we should be doing right. going forward, and I will not be afraid to tell that to the President of the United States.
Last word, Andre.
I think another line of questioning along one more on this, Ryan. Another line of questioning could concern the destruction of the videotape showing Al-Qaeda suspects being submitted to those interrogation techniques, if you will. But again, she was following protocol by her boss at the time, I think was Portergos.
Yeah, and I think the big thing for her is transparency.
Right.
You know, she's not, she can't hide behind anything anymore. She can't come up with excuses. I think if the, she looks these, particularly the Senate Democrats in the eye and says, listen, we did this like this for this reason. It was a mistake. We're not going to do it again. I think they give her the benefit of the doubt. But if she hedges, she tries to come up with excuses, that's where I think she gets herself in some trouble.
It's our friend Ryan Nobles. Follow him all over social media. All right, get back to work. Enough of talking to us.
All right, guys. Have a great day.
See you later. And see Ryan on CNN. He's just like me. He looks way older than he is.
What she really meant was...
Ryan's, what, 40 maybe, and he looks about 23. News next, and Dean on 720 WGN.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world.
Some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you...
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah, Hollywood.
Dean Richards, you know whose birthday it is today?
I do not.
Super Joe. Super Joe Romano.
Super Joe. Happy birthday.
Dean, you're the man. Appreciate that.
Well, Dean didn't bring it up. I did.
Dean, thanks, buddy.
Apparently, my birthday greeting sounded more sincere than yours.
It's outrageous.
Did.
It's really outrageous. What are you doing for your birthday today, Joe? After this show.
After Steve takes you out for breakfast.
Yeah.
Sure, absolutely.
Oh, you're awesome.
Yeah, whatever.
That's great. Well, breakfast, and then I'm going to the OTB to pick up my winnings. What's up?
Did you win on the Derby?
Yeah. Trifecta.
Come on. What'd you win?
I'm not sure yet. I'm going to find out.
Did you really win the trifecta?
Yeah.
Good for you.
There's a woman, I've got the story, and I haven't done, obviously, my due diligence on it. Dave, do you know the details of what I'm going to mention?
At a track in Texas.
$20 bet?
She won the, she won $18 pick five. Mm-hmm. She won $1.2 million.
Oh, nice. I'm hoping.
On an $18 bet.
Yeah, because among her picks was a 40-1 long shot in the 10th race. So that... At all?
How about that?
She had to pick the winners of the 8th through the 12th. Was that it? Something like that.
Well, on the trifecta, you had to pick 1, 2, and 3, right, Joe?
Yeah, I boxed them up though, so I don't think my winnings will be quite near 1.2 mil. Maybe 1 mil.
Or maybe you won't be here tomorrow, right, Joe?
You with the boxing?
Yeah, we'll see.
We'd like to explain it to our handicappers.
Well, yeah, the boxing is it. They don't have to come in that order 1, 2, 3. They can come in 2, 1, 3 or 3, 2, 1.
Yes, indeed.
But will
Andre,
that million,
Andre, a degenerate gambler?
I know.
Will that $1 million really buy you any happiness, though?
Well, he'd like to try.
I mean, you think about the joy as working on this show at this hour of the day and winning money.
Seems like that would be enough gratification,
right? Who said? Oh, it was Ella Fitzgerald. She said, "I've been rich and I've been poor, and rich is better."
Yeah, it's true. It's a true story. How was your weekend there, Dean?
It was.
By the way, the winner of the Kentucky Derby was Skilling's Folly. No, I don't know.
Justified.
That was it.
Justified.
The favorite.
Justified.
Well, your weekend was good?
Yeah, it was fine. We had, there's a Television Academy kind of...
Oh, is that Silver Circle?
Silver Circle event, yes.
Yeah, I was at the one where you went in.
Yes, you were.
Yeah.
Yes, you were.
And now, once you're in, do you have to buy a table every year?
You sort of do have to show up after that. But I was happy, too, because there's a lot of... wonderful broadcasters got inducted this year. Jim Williams from Channel 2.
Good.
Chuck Gowdy from Channel 7.
Chuck investigated all the other nominees.
How in the world I got in 2 years before a Chuck Gowdy is beyond me. Terry Savage, the money expert, was in this year. Some behind-the-scenes people. And because it's really all about the clown, Fraser Thomas, who hosted Garfield Goose show and then was moved to Bozo Circus. He was inducted posthumously, as was Bob Trendler, Steve, Uncle Bob, and the Big Top Band. Quite the accomplished musician. He was the conductor of the... Do you know that there was once a WGN orchestra?
Yeah, I do know that, actually.
And Bob Trendler was...
we have pictures.
Yes, we do. Yeah. All along the hallways at WGN Radio.
Yeah. Are you surprised that my work on the CLTV simulcast at 9 wasn't recognized this year?
A little bit.
Yeah.
A little bit.
Not so much, just a little bit.
Well, that's just a little bit, really.
Yeah. They haven't created a category for that yet.
Maybe next year, Steve. You have to be in the TV industry for 25 years.
Oh, this has only been on a year or so.
Yeah, so you've got a couple of years, for that.
The new category they've created is a category called, I wonder why they put this on TV. Let's see. I wonder why they put this on TV category.
Speaking of that, also inducted into the Silver Circle over the weekend was the legendary Newton Minow, who was the chairman of the Federal Communications Commission, appointed by John F. Kennedy. He's in his 90s. He's brilliant and spoke so eloquently about the state of broadcasting and what expectations were and how, what it's become and so forth. It was really, really an honor to meet him. Carol Marine inducted him, it was an honor to meet him, and it was a nice evening. And then the following night, Saturday night, was Pat Tomasulo's big comedy benefit at the Park West.
Yeah, didn't they? They raised just a great amount of money. Didn't
sells it out every year.
Several hundred thousand dollars.
700 people there. They just in that one night they raised $400,000. Wow. But the 4-year cumulative total for money that Pat and his comedian buddies, basically your comedian buddies, Steve, same guys that often appear with you. They raised $1.1 million for the Facial Pain Research Organization. Pat's wife, Amy, suffers from trigeminal neuralgia, which is chronic pain in the face, like debilitating chronic pain.
A migraine headache of your face, which comes out of nowhere and is can be triggered by anything and happens all the time.
So a tremendous amount of money that was raised for this very, very good cause. But a really funny night. Among the highlights, your pal, Rocky Laporte.
He's the best. Oh, he's just the best.
I know I've seen Rocky in the past at your shows.
Right.
He was just so absolutely funny. Hilarious.
Hey, Dean, you know that show Unsolved Mysteries? Yeah, I was at the bus station. I found everybody.
He's brilliant.
Yeah. Hey, there's a zoo in Las Vegas. They only have one animal. They got a shrimp.
It's just there's nothing Rocky says that isn't funny.
Yeah, it's the way he says it.
And, right.
I mean, everybody was very good who was on the show, but we were talking about it afterwards. It's like it's such a Chicago sensibility that he has. Of his comedy.
Yeah, you Chicago up like a Rodney Dangerfield. You slow it down and you make it more, delightful. Mm-hmm. And it's Rocky Laporte.
It's Rocky Laporte. Really funny.
New Hamilton exhibit, Avengers stuff, Taylor Swift, Jay-Z's mom. And that's not his new album title.
I've decided to start reporting on celebrities' moms. I've run out of celebrities.
I understand that.
And now we just start reporting on their parents.
And a Trump that's not Donald in the celebrity news when we come back. All right, Dean's been summoned back to TV, so we're almost out of time already. But there's a new Hamilton exhibit coming to Northerly Island. Avengers broke another record. Taylor Swift doing wonderful things, visiting burn victims in a hospital. Jay-Z's mom honored by the GLAAD organization. But I want to know about Ivana Trump.
She appeared on the Italian version of Dancing with the Stars.
Why? She's not Italian?
She's not Italian, but her ex-husband, not the president, her other ex-husband is Italian, and I guess that's where she lives now. But she appeared on the show. What's interesting about this is that she came down on Marla Maples, Donald Trump's other ex-wife. When she appeared on the U.S. version of Dancing with the Stars 2 years ago.
Yeah, it was beneath her.
Yeah, and now Ivana, who is the mother of Donald Jr., Ivanka, and Eric.
So it's partly her fault.
Has now appeared on the Italian version.
Go do your TV. Thanks, buddy. That's Dean Richards, and sponsored by Brand New Smile Dental Implant Center. Again, that's Brand New Smile Dental Implant Center. Got a second here, and I want to set this up because we need to get the opinions of the kids. So you're in Florida staying at somebody's house.
Oh, yes.
For vacation.
Yes, wonderful time.
So when you stay at someone's house, obviously, you're in their stuff.
Right.
And, it's more than just looking in their medicine cabinet or their cupboards.
Right.
You may have to use some of their things.
Yes.
So you had that discussion with your friends?
We had this discussion, yeah, and it was posed to me this way. I always bring all of my own things, you know, hair dryer, shampoo, everything like that, even though these are very, very dear friends. We're staying
two guys in a truck follow you on vacation.
Yeah, so I always overpack.
Okay.
But the question was presented to me. They're this beautiful home. They're considering renting it out to others. Mm-hmm. And we said, no, just rent it out to people that you know. So the question was posed, would you use someone's hairbrush if you forgot your brush, your hairbrush? I know maybe this doesn't pertain to you, but fill in the blank, a
when
comb.
You talk to Maureen? What does that mean?
That's all right. So would you use someone else's brush if it's sitting in the cabinet or underneath the sink? Would
right.
You use
you
got
to brush your hair. Would you just grab your brush?
And I said, probably wrongfully, I said, yeah, I probably would. And mm-hmm. then they all went simultaneously, oh, no, that's disgusting. That's gross. So I said to you, actually, I asked Mary Sandberg yesterday, and her answer was hilarious. Would you, and we can all probably guess what her answer would be, but I said, would you use somebody else's brush, or where would you draw the line? You know, obviously, you're not going to use someone else's toothbrush. Somebody, though, they said, you wouldn't believe it, somebody used their deodorant.
What?
Yes.
What?
Yes.
You're talking about the touch your armpit
yes.
deodorant, not the spray.
And here's the thing. It
Do
was,
people use spray anymore now that I think about it?
It was like no, a sister-in-law. Really. So then it became a discussion of, well, if it's family, you could go ahead and use the stuff. But then everyone else said, no. Just don't use anybody else's stuff. Where do you draw the line? And have you ever done that? Have you ever just been in someone's home? Not so much even peeking in the medicine cabinet, but just kind of freshening up, using a little bit of the
hand
lotion.
I'm a bit
brush.
Of a germaphobe, though, but I've never used anybody else's stuff when I was staying with them.
You'd be surprised at how many people do and what they just think, hey, it's there, it's fair game.
Now, I have gone through people's stuff. I've gone through dressers and medicine cabinets and things like that.
I've used deodorant
because I think that's the thing to do.
Right.
If I'm staying in your house, I'm going
through
your
stuff. It's fair game, sure.
And that's for their own good.
Right. I might find something they're looking for.
Right.
Right. What did you say about deodorant?
I've used my husband's deodorant before.
Yeah, it's different. You're married.
Yeah, but you wouldn't go in someone else's home. Like, say you're staying at Cochran's house, like at the double wide.
What do you mean gross? You don't know my deodorant's gross.
Yeah, no, not touching it.
Or,
touching
here's it. Another one. Or the bar of soap that's already there. See, I wouldn't either.
I
but
use
people,
that.
See, there you go. People
I'm against
use the bar
bars
of soap.
Yeah, I don't use bar soap anymore.
Squeeze
anyway.
Bottle stuff, man. Yeah. That's the way to go.
I have
with the bar soap. It's great in the shower. It's
I
the
use
best.
Both. I do the bar and then finish with the loofah and the
Well, you got to use it in the shower, don't you?
No,
you
body wash.
Oh, the body wash. That's junk.
No, it's not
junk.
That's what you got to use to keep clean.
Oh, no.
I smell like a field of flowers when I come out after using
you really do,
Steve. You smell like lilac.
You don't smell like Irish Spring.
No, it's great. It works fine. Yeah. What are you judgmental on the body wash?
You
body wash.
Body wash. I'm just that big body wash.
It smells so good.
You want to use your bar of soap that your husband used? Got a hair on it? That's
He takes a shower in the other bathroom.
So you won't use body wash. So I'm definitely not using Vandeveld's soap.
No.
Why?
God, no.
Because it's her bar
soap
of soap.
Is fine. Yeah. It's very clean.
Well, not if you on your stuff. But use that on your stuff.
on your stuff.
Well, I don't like, I lather it up.
Okay, well, you were the one saying you wouldn't use my deodorant.
Yeah, but you put it.
You're not going to use my deodorant. I'm not showering at your house.
I'm cleaning the shower. The water's running, but I'm not going to use your armpit. Duh.
But you'll use the bar of soap where you put in certain places?
Yeah.
Maybe I don't put it there.
Well. All right. Mary doesn't believe in
I
thorough cleaning.
Okay.
I'm just not going body. I just don't like the body wash. I don't know what it is.
So don't use other people's stuff.
That's the question. That's the thing. What do you do? I mean, I wouldn't, but some people just think, hey, you know what? There's the hairbrush. There's the deodorant. It's fair game, even though it's not mine.
I don't even like looking in somebody's refrigerator if I'm staying at their house.
Oh, see, I do. I don't mind that. I'm staying there. I'm going to invade what's in the fridge.
Yeah, I'm kind of a freak about this stuff. Like, I mean, my kids' house, Ross and Lauren's house. Ross and Lauren and Abigail. I'm there every Monday afternoon with Abigail. I feel funny looking in their cabinets.
Do you really?
Yeah.
Do you take stuff out of the fridge? Like if you want to make a sandwich or something?
Well, I mean, I'm cooking for Abigail, sure.
Okay.
I mean, I make elaborate things. I got to know what's in there.
Right.
Where's the macaroni and cheese box?
Where's the crunchy peanut butter?
Right. Are you not like this, Dave?
No, I think if it makes you feel funny to look in like their stuff, think how it makes them feel to hear you say on the radio that you look in their stuff.
They're going, what?
I'll go through their drawers.
They gotta know.
Which is for their own good.
Right.
Joe, when are we giving away these White Sox tickets? It's your birthday, Joe. You decide.
Next segment.
Next segment. Okay. All right.
It's your birthday.
Enjoying the show today, Joe?
Yeah, I'm a little frustrated with some behind-the-scenes stuff.
Got a couple technical issues going on. We'll have a question from Super Joe, Super White Sox fan, on your White Sox and tickets to give away coming up on 720 WGN.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Now. People chiming in on whether or not they use other people's stuff when they go to their house. 847, this is such a first world conversation you people are having. 773, people think I'm nuts because I won't let anyone use my fingernail clippers. I don't think I would either.
I wouldn't either.
And I don't want to use somebody else's fingernail clippers.
Mm-mm, not
or
at all.
Toenail clippers.
Someone else brought up a razor. Nasty. Like, would you use your wife's razor or vice versa?
Oh, I would.
Yeah, if you have to.
If I had to.
Oh, yeah, I've done that, too.
I don't know if I would do that.
But I think you ding up, women ding up a man's razor more often than men use a women's razor.
Well, because we have more area to cover.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
815, oh, you people, so damn picky. Use the damn deodorant and the brush. 630, you can wipe a layer of the deodorant off and you can suds up the soap bar.
Oh, there you go.
See?
What am I, Amish?
All right, wait. So would you use someone else's chapstick?
Well, it depends on who the person
or
is.
Or lipstick. Not in your case, obviously, but...
Well, you never know. I like a nice...
Depends on if they have a sore on their lips.
Nice rouge.
That's nice.
That's gross.
Well, so my brother-in-law used mine in Florida, and I was kind of like,
why don't you throw it out
and
get another chapstick then?
I think I went out and got him one because he used it so much.
And Joe, I have good news for you before we get to the White Sox question. He said, if you box the pick three, you won $141.40 on a $1 bet. How big was your bet?
I don't remember.
Or the trifecta, I should say.
Yeah. I made a few bets, so I'm not sure exactly how much I put on.
What do you think it was?
Like
a fiver?
Yeah, something like that.
Mm-hmm. Well, that'd be good, dude. That's $700 on your birthday.
Giddy up. Let's get it.
Wow. Good for you, Joe. Good betting.
Good betting. Way to bet.
Good betting.
All right. Joe is just a complete knucklehead for the White Sox, and we respect him for it. Joe, what's your question of the week? Your Monday Super Joe question on your birthday.
So yesterday, James Shields carried a no-hitter into the seventh inning.
Yep.
Before giving up a single to Eduardo Escobar, former White Sox, by the way. Mark Burley has thrown two of the last three no-hitters for the White Sox. Who pitched the other one?
Ooh, this is a good question. It's a good question because it's not a household name. Who pitched the other no-hitter of the last three for the White Sox when Burley had two of those three? First correct answer, 312-981-7200, gets a four-pack of tickets for the White Sox. White Sox! The White Sox and the Texas Rangers on Friday, May 18th at 7:10. Every Monday, the Super Joe White Sox question means you could win four tickets as well. We give away White Sox tickets all day, every day.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
All right, for four tickets to the White Sox and the Rangers Friday night, May 18th. Joe, give me the question one more time. It's Super Joe's birthday, Joanna.
Yeah. Happy birthday, Super Joe.
All right, question one more time.
White Sox pitcher James Shields carried a no-hitter into the seventh inning yesterday before giving up a single to Eduardo Escobar. Mark Burley has thrown two of the last three no-hitters for the White Sox. Who pitched the other one?
Let's go to James in Lockport. James, what's the answer?
It was Philip Umber, which was a perfect game, actually, too.
How about that? How about that? Look at you, you Sox fan, and you have tickets. Who are you going to bring to the game?
Oh, I'll gather up some buddies.
Good. Good. Time. How are you feeling about this young Sox team? I see nothing but future here.
Well, I think we're going to get the number one pick maybe this year, but that'll be good.
Yeah, actually it will. Yeah. I appreciate you listening, man. All thanks. Right. Hold on if you would. And Dave, you and I were talking. Do we even know if Philip Umber's still on base?
No, he's not. He's gone. I don't think he's pitched for about, I don't know, 4 or 5 years, probably.
Pretty good story to tell your kids or your grandkids.
Yeah, I mean, he wasn't.
I threw a perfect game.
He wasn't a huge winning pitcher either. I mean, he was a sub-500 pitcher for his career. And by the way, he got his name, the pronunciation right, too, the silent H.
Mm-hmm. Not Humber.
Not Humber.
Umber.
But it was the perfect game that got everyone to know that.
It's funny. If you look through the list of pitchers that have thrown perfect games, there's a lot of names you won't recognize because they just had one really great day at work.
Yep. Kevin Costner. Oh, wait.
That, yeah, but that was
wrong.
A movie.
Yeah.
But that wasn't.
That's okay.
I liked that movie. Probably one of the only people ever who liked it.
I liked that movie. The movie was fun. Part of the reason I like that movie is I like the female lead in that movie.
Oh, was it Kelly?
Mm-mm.
No.
Keep trying. Oh, it was Kelly.
Travolta's wife?
You're right. You're right.
What's her last name?
I was thinking of Sean Penn's ex-wife, who's now about to be the president of the United States when the new House of Cards season rolls out later this month.
Robin Wright.
Kelly Preston. You're right. Why did I think Robin Wright was in it? Did Robin Wright do a movie with Kevin Costner? She must have.
Oh, Six Degrees.
And if she hasn't, she should.
Darn right. Coming up, Pat Boyle from NBC Sportsnet Chicago. Pat Boyle and Dave and I are going to be talking about a little hockey after 9 o'clock.
We have some things we want to talk to him about, too.
You do?
Yeah. Diet Coke boxes being placed on the counter.
Laundry.
Folded towels or
Bounty.
Lack thereof.
What a huge disappointment he is as a husband. That
leaving
kind of thing.
Things on the bathroom counter.
And that is the text question of the day. Is there anything you ever said to your husband or your boyfriend that you regret?
Yeah.
They probably regret hearing it, but that you regret. Michael Hayden will be on about 9:40. All right. I ran out of time to tell this story on Friday, and it's worthy of more time than I'm going to give it right now, but I'm going to tell it anyway. I mentioned on Friday was the 15th anniversary of me meeting my mother.
Oh.
Now, if you don't know this story, that sounds like an odd statement. But I was adopted by Ralph and Senya Cochran. I grew up in upstate New York. Started moving around the country and being fired in various cities across the country. And ended up in Chicago for the first time, working at WCKG, if you remember that station. I worked there for one day. That was in 1993. In 96, I went to New York for about a year. In 99, I was in Detroit for about a year, but I kept bouncing back to Chicago. So I ended up working at WGN, and I was doing the weird little midday show we had at the time, and then the afternoon show. When I was on the afternoon show in 2003, Ann Maxfield, our friend Ann Maxfield, did traffic forever here. Ann Maxfield, also adopted, said, well, you're ever going to look for your birth parents. And I can tell you, I never, you know, growing up, I never thought, oh, I got to go find my birth parents. I just didn't. And certainly I had a few reasons at times, but I just never had that experience.
Yeah.
My parents are my parents. So, but I was also at that point, I was 42, 42 years old, 15 years ago. And my kids didn't have any health record track. So I decided, for the sake of knowing what's in the pipeline, because anybody that's adopted knows this, you go to the doctor, they give you the clipboard, fill out your medical history. I could put down I had a hysterectomy. Nobody knows.
No.
Especially when you get older.
It becomes more important.
Yeah.
Right? So, and that's a separate story, but that's one of the things I've been trying to push through some connections in Washington, a new digital connected law that would allow adopted children to have access to their medical records without interrupting the sanctity of the anonymous adoption.
Right. You and Sarah Feigenholtz worked on a...
Right. Well, yeah, that was the birth certificate
thing. The bill,
yeah. So, here's the deal. At the time, Karen Conti and Greg Adamski, her late husband, said, well, listen, we think this is a great idea. We know some people. Hire a private eye. I go, well, what am I, a Quinn Martin production? What am I going to hire a private eye?
Right.
But it turns out a good majority of the private eyes are ex-cops. They know how to bend the rules. So I hire this private eye through them. Never meet the guy. And 2 weeks later, I get a phone call. And the guy goes, well, I got good news and bad news. The bad news is your dad died about 3 weeks ago.
Oh.
It was my birth father.
Right.
Now, keep in mind, I've lived all over the country, right?
Mm-hmm.
All over America.
Yes.
So the good news is, your mom is about 10 minutes away. She runs the gift shop at Children's Hospital.
How about that? I mean, you could walk from work at the time to where she had worked.
Well, and here's the thing. It could have been anywhere, right?
Blocks away.
I still get
chills. I lived in Miami. I lived in St. Louis.
Yeah.
I lived in New York. I lived in Los Angeles. I lived everywhere.
Mm-hmm. And she's where you said?
Minneapolis.
Yes.
So Greg Adamski said, well, you know, I'm sure you're curious. You go over there, but wear a disguise.
Oh.
I said, wear a disguise.
Didn't you put like shades on or something?
I had a golf hat in the car.
Okay.
I put on a golf hat.
And sunglasses?
I may have had sunglasses on.
Okay.
And I walked into the gift shop. And at the time, we had these things called newspapers. And I bought a USA Today. And I turned around and this woman, who I would come to know as my mom, said, "Can I help you?" And I said, "Sure. Here's my USA Today."
Oh, no.
Within a week, I'd written her a letter that said, "I'm not trying to turn your life upside down. I respect the adoptive process. My life, you know, is fine, and I don't want to disturb you at all. But I'm interested in finding out my medical history."
Right. So she didn't recognize you at that point. Like, there was
it's the punchline, right?
Okay.
Yeah. So she responded shortly thereafter, and on Mother's Day of 2003, she and I and my sisters were all together for the first time.
Wow.
2 days, or actually a week prior to that, which that year was May 4th, I met her for the first time.
How cool is that?
Yeah. Now, here's the punchline. The punchline is my father was a fan of WGN and had been listening for years. And according to her, he knew.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
A couple of years. Uh-huh. She found out that I was her son because she was listening. She was home from work on this particular day. And she was listening on the day Ann Maxfield and I were talking about it. So she knew before I did.
Oh, my God.
So when I walked in, she knew who I was.
Oh, my God.
So anyway.
It's goosebumps.
So Friday we had lunch, my mother and I, and we see each other all the time. Mm-hmm. And my sisters as well, and my two beautiful nieces, and my brother-in-law. So it's been, you know, a family my kids didn't know they would ever have, and all that. And, you know, adoption is a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing. It's a very necessary thing. It's a great thing. But I'm doubly blessed. And, you know, even though my parents are both gone, and I don't think I would have done a search if my parents were out. Even though my mother, when I was 21 years old, brought me this manila envelope of documents and said, "Well, if you want to search for your mom and your dad, I'll help you." You know.
Yeah, and you said no at the time.
For the right reasons. Mm-hmm. But the health records thing is a big deal. And now I got the bonus of actually having this family who I love, and they love me back, and my kids, and my wife, and everybody.
It's like you never lost time when you guys see each other. I mean, mom jokes
with
you.
For the most part. I mean, they like to tell stories about stuff I wasn't involved with, but that's a laugh.
All right?
That's a laugh.
This is a very serious question. Has anybody ever approached you about doing a made-for-TV movie or a Lifetime? Because this is
it's a
good story.
It's funny. Since that happened, because I thought I would write a book and different things. I've got about 50 books I never finished. But there have been a lot of shows that have popped up, including a fairly popular show. I think it's A&E, Lifetime somewhere, about these sort of searches where they go out, the TV producers go out and find.
Wow.
Because documentary things.
Remember Sally Jesse Raphael?
Yeah.
Okay, 1994, I was working in New York. And 1994, she was kind of a big deal back then. So I was on the air, and I hadn't been on the air long in New York at that point. And I get a call from one of her producers. Go, "We'd love to have you come on the show." Because they had found out or had talked about it on the air or whatever. They said, the direct quote, "We want to out your birth parents."
Okay.
I said, "Yeah, we're not doing that."
Yeah, not the right way
I'm
to
good.
Do it.
I'm good. Talk to you later.
Wow.
But the amazing thing is my mother moved here. My mother and father moved here in 1996 or 7 because my sisters were here, and they wanted to be closer to my sisters. They moved here not knowing I was here. I lived here not knowing they were here. They lived in New Orleans. They lived in Honolulu. Mm-hmm. They lived in Rochester, New York. They lived in Rockford. Mm-hmm. They lived all over the country. They ended up here. We ended up here, and I ended up coming back year after leaving twice.
Boy, what a cool story.
That's why I go to church on Sundays, among other reasons.
So if you hadn't reached out to your mother with this letter...
They were preparing to approach me.
Were they?
Yeah.
Wow, that's so... Oh, you did it first. There you go.
And I was preparing to give them, at the time, a lobstergram. It was on the prize list.
A pizza
and a My Pillow.
But my mother's very funny. Very funny.
Oh, she's on the show. Oh, she's hilarious.
She could star in the movie.
Yeah.
Right?
I'm sorry?
She'll be my mom this Mother's Day.
That's
she
right.
will.
She's,
she will.
Yeah,
she'll be in here on Friday.
Which one does she love more, you or Dave?
My wife, Maureen. Yeah, that's her favorite. Yeah. Yeah. And the kids. The kids.
Oh, yeah.
31 and 27.
Right.
Good God, I'm old. Let's get to the news next on 720 WGN.
Van Denning stationary. The Moose are happy with that, but now he's getting more mobile, and he gets it off to DiDomenico. Backside scores. Deflected in front by Sakura, who got net side on Schilling and was able to put it into the net. Rockford makes the Moose pay for the penalty problems.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
They're not hogs, they're ice hogs. The Rockford Ice Hogs, the future of the Blackhawks in so many ways. So I've assembled an expert panel here. And that expert panel is Pat Boyle from NBC Sports and Dave Kaplan from a chair near me.
No, not Dave Kaplan.
What did I say? Kaplan again?
Yes, the second time.
Second time I've
you've done that, like in a week.
Is he on tomorrow?
I think he is coming in one day.
Wednesday.
He's coming in this week. But I must be spooked by him or something.
How long have you and I worked together?
Now, you're not Kaplan. Is that your point?
Yes.
Not as long as he and Cap have, apparently.
And Dave has such beautiful hair.
Yes, he does.
Thanks, Mary.
Yes, so, Dave Edit and Pat Boyle from NBC Sportsnet. Good morning, Pat.
How you doing, Steve Dahl? What's up?
Oh. Nicely played.
I had that coming.
Wow.
I had that coming. I absolutely did. How are things at home? Let's start with that.
Oh.
How are things at home?
Yeah.
Well, you and I, we share an executive producer of your show and my life.
Mm-hmm.
And let's just say the way things run on your show is probably how things are running with my life right about now.
My wife on, Saturday, I guess it was, she had seen some old friends from Minneapolis. She and my daughter were up there for a wedding. And I said, yeah, but he looks really old. And she goes, well, you know, he gets up really early like you do. That's why you both look older than you are. Whoops.
Thanks.
So I'm sure Mary Sandberg has never said anything to you. This is Mary Sandberg Boyle, NBC Sports.
Mm-hmm.
Never said anything to you that she regrets, has she?
Oh, please. Not in the last few hours because she's been with you at work. she's very supportive to me.
Sure.
But it's just the ground rules she sets here at the Boyle household are let's just say unattainable at times.
Yeah. Okay.
So we survive in advance and we try to get through and all is well. We survived my mom coming to town this past weekend and everybody was able to.
No one was injured.
Nobody was injured. Yeah, there was a few high sticking penalties and whatnot, but everybody got. Got along, and we got through it.
Your mom sounds like a delight, and of course, it's a big confirmation weekend for your daughter. And Patrick, your son is at school, right?
Yes, he is.
Okay, so I can say this out loud. I also know you had the beginnings of the talk this weekend.
Yes. The sex ed talk.
Yes.
The end of fifth grade is when they broached that topic here. Yesterday I decided to get him in the car and begin the process so that he wasn't blindsided at school. I mean, so we started that yesterday, and I think we got off to a decent start on that.
Favorite part of the story was, as I've been told it, was he's eating a grilled cheese sandwich at Panera, and he said you were ruining him enjoying his grilled cheese.
Yeah, he said... Could you pick a better time to talk about something gross when I'm not eating?
That's awesome. That's the best response I've ever heard.
Yeah.
With the talk, anyway.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
So, and you know how I feel, Pat? I mean, you're younger than I am, but Dave, you and I grew up in an era where you found out about sex the way you should from your creepy older cousins.
Yes.
And that's how you found out about it. They gave you bad information.
And we liked
you'd
it.
Figure it out later.
Yeah.
Yep,
and that's where hang-ups
come from. Down the street that had a stack of Playboys, and that was the other thing you found out.
Yep. That's it. And usually those were in the tree fort after you nabbed a couple that he wouldn't know were missing.
Exactly.
All right, the Rockford Ice Hogs. Why are they important to our story?
Because they're making a run at the Calder Cup. They're on a roll.
This is the Stanley Cup of the IHL, right?
Playoffs.
This is the Stanley Cup of the IHL?
AHL.
Or AHL? I said IHL.
Correct.
Are you David Kaplan?
David Kaplan?
Yes. Who are they playing for the title?
The Manitou. Well, it's not the title. This is the second round.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lengthy journey, much like the Stanley Cup playoffs are. So, they're playing the Manitoba Moose right now.
You know, as much as I like the Ice Hogs, the Moose must have a great logo, don't they? I feel like
I need a Manitoba
Moose hat.
It's a beautiful moose. Yeah, it's fantastic.
We need to isolate that. That's awesome.
All right, so you and Dave, you and Dave Bennett Give me somebody we ought to be watching for that's going to maybe be in a Blackhawk sweater sometime soon.
Well, let me start, Pat, and just ask you about what Victor Edsel has done here, because he was a guy acquired in the trade with Nashville by the Blackhawks, and we saw him at the end of the season. But he's had a great playoff.
He's off to a great start, Dave, and that is, you know, that besides the first-round pick that they picked up from Nashville and dealing Ryan Hartman, they got this Victor Edsel. And we saw him for just a brief time at the end of the season, but he's been off to a great start for Rockford. John Hayden is also down there. He, of course, was up and down with the Blackhawks last year. I think that the team has big plans for him in the future. And their goalie, Colin Delia, you know, I think we'd all admit that goaltending was an issue. You lose Corey Crawford for over half the season, and you look to find that backup consistency, and it really was hard to come by. So Colin Delia has been fantastic for the Ice Hogs, and maybe he will have the inside track to be Corey's backup next year. So a lot of players to look at here over the next couple of weeks, as long as Rockford continues to play, that hopefully will be vying for spots with the Blackhawks next year.
And correct me if I'm wrong, Pat, but and if I'm wrong, I'm David Kaplan, by the way. but that Rockford didn't have a lights out kind of a season. They finished fourth in the division, but they get this influx of Blackhawks players when the Hawks fail to make the playoffs, and all of a sudden they're a team to look out for in these playoffs. Is that kind of how it's set up?
That is correct, Dave. I mean, they also, I think they put together, and Coach would be able to talk about this better than myself.
Standing by, by the way. We're going to pick them up in just a second here.
I believe they went on a run to kind of close out the season, and it really created some momentum for this team. And then in that first round, they had the epic 3-overtime victory over the Chicago Wolves. So, you know, they've gained some confidence. It's a good blend of some veteran savvy presence on this team, and then like these young guys that are trying to turn some heads with the big club. So you put that all together, and this is high leverage, impactful games. You know, I'd like to look at the Blackhawks season. There weren't a lot of meaningful games from, say, February on. These guys right now, they're playing for a championship. They know it. And they're also playing, you know, for their NHL lives as well. So a lot is on the line here, and it's an exciting time and, you know, an opportunity now in our own backyard to go see some playoff hockey and some future Blackhawks later on this week.
Rockford Ice Hogs Coach Jeremy, what do you think of the analysis so far? Pretty spot on?
Yeah, you guys did your homework.
And I got to tell you, my friend, I'm looking at a logo for the Manitoba Moose. I'd like you to shellac these guys, but I still want the hat.
Yeah, they've been around now for a while in the American League, so pretty. They've had some success, and maybe the logo is a big part of it. I'm not sure.
You know, you're in one of those unenviable positions. You coach a lot of talented guys, but part of the gig is make them good enough to get to the next level. So is it just constantly adjusting?
Yeah, I think that's the league. You know, when you go into, you know, a job like this, that's part of what you sign up for is there's going to be turnover with the roster. And I think this year it's been fun because we've seen a lot of guys get an opportunity with the Blackhawks, and that's what you want for them. They want to play in the NHL, and you know, ultimately if they are not able to take that next step and play at the next level, they're going to be disappointed. So our job is to do everything we can to help them. So you know, we're definitely trying to win. We want to be in a position like we are, where we're in the playoffs and they're playing big games and learning how to be counted on in important situations, because hopefully that's the kind of guys we're going to get to the next level. But there is a little bit of a balancing act with the roster and high turnover.
You played in this league. You played in the NHL. What's the biggest difference? Is it speed of the game like we talk about in the other sports?
Yeah, it is. I think a lot of it is there's a lot of guys at the American League level who can play in the NHL for a stretch of time. You know, your top guys at the American League level are pretty good players, but can they do it for a month, for 2 months, for 3 months? I think that's what separates a lot of the guys, is they can turn it on. You're on adrenaline, you're excited, You take care of your details and all those things, and so you look pretty good for a week or so. But you know, a lot of the guys that just can't break through, they drop off after a certain stretch of time. And you know, the guys that are NHL pros, they don't. They have that consistency every night. So I think that's the biggest difference.
Before we let you go, I'm going to give Dave and Pat a swing at you here. Pat, say hi to Coach.
Hey, Coach Culleton, how you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
Hey, quick question for you. You know, Vinny Hinostroza was one of those guys I thought that made that jump last year after spending time with you at the start of the season in Rockford. Another player who was back and forth and is with you right now in this playoff run is John Hayden. Can you explain to Hawks fans kind of the communication process that goes between you and the big club when a guy gets sent down, how you devise that game plan to help develop that player to get them back to the NHL?
Sure. Well, I think as an organization, these young guys, they, you know, we got a lot of belief in them that they're going to eventually, you know, get to the Hawks and make a difference. And sometimes they're just not quite ready yet, but it doesn't mean that there isn't a ton of belief that they will get there eventually. And so when a guy gets sent down, I think that's part of it is, you know, trying to take the disappointment. And, you know, some guys are bitter. They think they should be in the NHL. They shouldn't have to play in the American League. We want to take that away and get them to, you know, not waste any time as far as playing their hardest and committing to do the right things every day, because that's what's going to get them back in the NHL. And I think we've been lucky this year. All the guys who've come down, they've had an excellent attitude about, hey, yeah, I would like to be with the Hawks, but you know, they're going to do everything they can to get better and take the feedback. And you know, I think Vinny Hinostroza is a perfect example of, you know, he was disappointed to be sent down, but he was very coachable here and, you know, became an impact player, a guy we could count on every night at the American League level. And he was able to, you know, transfer that game to the Hawks, and I think ended up with a pretty good season. And, you know, Hayden, he's a different player, but he's the same, been extremely open to feedback, and he plays hard for the team. And he's been a big part of our success here, you know, at the end with that line, Sakura Martinson. They've been excellent for us. So I just think communication, letting them know that we're here for them and we're going to do everything we can to help them. And but, you know, on the other side, their buy-in is huge.
And Coach, tickets are available, but only a few. Get them and make the trip to Rockford and see these guys. Dave, take a look here with Coach on the line. That's the Ice Hogs logo, and that's the Moose logo. I got to go Ice Hogs on the logo.
Oh, I go Ice Hogs logo. I mean,
there's nothing better than an angry oink, right?
That is true, yeah. But the moose is pretty cool.
The moose is cool, but look at the angry. This is oink wear. That's what we're talking about.
That's true. That is better.
All right, Coach, I'm glad we solved that problem.
Me too.
All right. Thanks for being on. I appreciate it.
You bet. Thanks a lot.
That's Coach Jeremy Culleton, who, you know, he's a young guy. Pat Boyle, I would guess he's probably going to be behind the bench in the NHL sometime in the near future.
You know, he spent his last 3 years in Sweden, and the team he left in Sweden went in the tank this year. So I think he's an up-and-comer. I think we have seen some progress from the guys that have been called up. So, yeah, I think he's one of those young coaching candidates that will eventually get his shot.
Good luck at home, my friend.
Thank you. Maybe you, Godspeed.
Why do you say that?
Pat Boyle from
NBC
Sportsnet.
You always say that to everybody.
Coming
every
back,
guess.
I do. Even
I don't
David
know. There
Kaplan.
Was a little underlined.
Coming back in a couple of minutes with your headline. Michael Hayden is the former director of the NSA and the CIA. He's written the book you've all thought about. What kind of world are we going to live in if the president of the United States continues to trash the FBI and our other intelligence agencies? We'll talk to him about it coming up. But first, those headlines after this. The retired four-star general Michael Hayden, standing by, former director of the NSA and the CIA, uniquely qualified to talk about so many things that are going on in our world. The center of his book, which we'll get to in a second, and the potential new CIA director, and whether or not we will, in fact, give her a fair hearing. It brings me back to Spy Masters, the Showtime documentary where all the CIA directors incredibly were put together to converse on what's happened since 9/11. And this line from Michael Hayden always stands out to me.
If some future president is going to decide to waterboard, he better bring his own bucket, because he's going to have to do it himself. The agency's not going to do this again.
General Michael Hayden, the new book is called The Assault on Intelligence, American National Security in the Age of Lies. It's an honor to have you back, sir.
Thank you very much. Glad to be here.
Yeah, and Spy Masters, I bet I've watched it 7 or 8 times now. It's just amazing to have all of the former CIA directors speak on all the topics you had to address and what you dealt with then and what we're dealing with now. And the biggest threat we're dealing with now, as you deal with in the book, is dishonesty.
Right. Actually, as dark as it sounds, when people ask me, what keeps you awake at night now, General? The answer is, we do. And so the kind of the theme of the book is kind of a three-layer cake, and layer one isn't the president. Layer one is us.
Right.
And we have become what scholars have identified as a post-truth culture. We make decisions based on something other than fact or data. We base decisions on emotion, preference, grievance, loyalty, tribalism. And frankly, the candidate, President Trump, identified that, used it during the campaign, and I say in the book, I think some of what he does and a lot of what he says makes that situation, that post-truth approach, worse. And then finally, the third layer are the Russians, kind of coming in over the top, taking advantage of everything I just described to divide us even further for their own purposes. But the core...
Well, do we lose him? We clipped out. I'm sorry, we lost the line, didn't we? Apparently we did. We're going to try to get him back here quickly. I'm not quite sure what happened there, but we lost the phone line. And the book, again, is called The Assault on Intelligence, American National Security in the Age of Lies. Michael Hayden's a former director of the National Security Agency and the CIA. And Super Joe, I know it's your birthday, but let us know when we have him back.
It's interesting, the clip that you played, though, about the waterboarding, how they're going to have to bring their own waterboard with them, because Gina Haspel now, who is obviously the nominee, or will be the nominee to be the head of the CIA.
She is a nominee. Now is she going to get a fair hearing?
Exactly, because of her past and, you know, allegations of destroying videotapes of such interrogations in 2005. So it'll be interesting to see what happens.
And if we can get Michael Hayden back, one of the things I want to ask him, he makes the point in the book that there is intelligence to be gathered from Trump's tweets.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it's that intelligence that somebody like him understands that we don't necessarily have it. We're connecting back up with him now. We've got a 3-point phone connection here.
Yeah, right.
Between New York and wherever General Hayden is and us.
On a secured line.
Well, we'd hope it's a secured line, right? And he also details in the book how Russia's, from the Trump Tower meeting, the intelligence the Russians could have gathered from that. So let me jump back. We got all three layers of the cake in, General, just before the line cut off.
Okay, thank you.
But as we continue
go ahead.
I was going to say, as we continue the discussion of the assault on intelligence, I wanted to make sure we got to this. You detail in the book that these tweets, the primary form of communication for him, this isn't just annoying, insulting blather, that there's intelligence to be gathered from these by the other side.
You know, so we create, I say in the book, we create personality profiles on foreign leaders around the world. We spend a lot of time, a lot of money trying to figure out what makes these other leaders tick. So we know where their buttons are, where their vulnerabilities, their exposed nerves. Our president seems to expose his deepest id on a routine basis.
Mm-hmm.
And you can glean so much from what triggers him, what his sleep habits are, what his patterns of thought might be, just by the way that he tweets. So it's whatever else you might think of them, good, bad, or indifferent. In terms of a foreign intelligence service, this is a gold mine.
The Magnitsky Act. The reason the adoption question came up when the Donald Trump Jr. Meeting at the Trump Tower was originally released was you could bury the dirty side of this if you just placed it off on adoptions. But the Magnitsky Act takes all of Russia's richest people, including Vladimir Putin, and shuts down their money. So that's what this was about. And what did Russia get out of this meeting?
Well, I mean, number one, yes, that's what it was about. And frankly, it was pretty clear from the beginning that's what it was about. They wanted, she is Veselnitskaya, the lawyer, and had a record of representing the sanctioned powerful folks in Moscow. She asked for the meeting, promising Russian government dirt on Hillary Clinton, and the Trump campaign took the meeting. So what did the Russians learn? Number one, they learned they would take the meeting.
Right.
Number two, they learned that they wouldn't report the meeting to the FBI because the Russians would have noticed increased American counterintelligence had they done it. Number three, they understood that the campaign, potentially future president, was willing to talk about sanctions relief. And then number four, because the campaign didn't report it, the Russians kind of got a down payment on what they call kompromat. In other words, this soft approach had created a track record of the Trump team being willing to talk to the Russians. That's a pretty good day's work for Russian intelligence.
It's a big deal. You also make the point in the book, which is, it goes to everything that's wrong about a broken man like I view Donald Trump to be. But he never understands the room. And in not understanding the room and being so narcissistic and self-centered, you take the job where you have to be able to have your head on a swivel and understand what you're saying and the importance of every word and every syllable of what you say, not just get up and say, well, what am I going to do to protect the voices in my head today? And we go back to that meeting he initially took with the CIA, where he went to the CIA, the group of the best intelligence gatherers who have to deal in facts, and had the president of the United States, their new boss, stand in front of him, General Hayden, and say, I had the biggest inaugural crowd. What could they have been thinking?
I actually go to that scene in the book and describe it as the worst visit ever by a president to an American intelligence agency. And to draw out the inaugural crowd size, to claim that it was a lie that the press was creating, that he had been criticizing American intelligence. And I say in the book, and he's saying this in a room full of fact-based analysts. How could you possibly imagine that that's going to improve the situation? And so it was sadly an opportunity lost. I give the president credit in the book for listening to somebody and going out to the agency knowing he had some fences to mend, but the performance just dug the hole even deeper.
Right.
General, good morning. How important is the view of the international community? I know we're dealing, obviously, with North Korea, this Russian situation, trade with China. How important is the opinion of other countries right now for the United States?
So I know the president has run very strongly that his predecessors paid too much attention to what the other guys think. And I understand that, and there's kind of an instinctive reaction from a lot of Americans. Yeah, we should be looking out for ourselves. But people like me understand that the health of our relations with these other countries is in the very long-term interest of the United States. You know, a question I ask of folks is, well, why don't you list for me all the allies that Russia or China have that are important and useful to them? And okay, we're done with the conversation. All right?
Right.
There are no countries on that list. We, on the other hand, do have allies. It is a national advantage, a strategic edge. And let me summarize what I hear from our foreign friends. Under Barack Obama, the question was, particularly in the late Obama years, where are you guys? Because we were just engaging. What I'm hearing now from our foreign friends is, who are you guys?
Right.
We're not recognizable to them.
And by the way, that sort of uncertainty in the rest of the world is not good for us on any level, which brings us to the overwhelming point of the book. And that is that the assault on intelligence, American national security in the age of lies, we can't go on like this. Because if we question the veracity of what the FBI, the CIA, and the NSA says and does for us, we got nothing, General.
I've lived the life. I've gotten some things wrong. My institutions have deserved to be criticized. But that's arguing over the facts. We don't do that much anymore. What you get is, rather than an argument over the facts, is the lion media and so-called. Right. I mean, we get the attempt to delegitimize the other side as if we don't have to win the argument. We just have to tell our own supporters
Those people over there, you can't trust them.
General Michael Hayden, as I always say, get two copies. You're careless, you'll lose one. Get a third copy because
it's that good.
Well, it's that good. And also, I want you to be able to give one to your target. You know what I'm talking about when I say your target?
No. Wink, wink.
Been watching too many Bruce Willis movies. General, you could go off and have a great life on the speaker's circuit and not say anything to the rest of us. I so appreciate the intelligence you share every day. And I hope we can look back at this and laugh at some point.
Well, thanks. I remain optimistic. Thank you, guys.
Thank you for being on. General Michael Hayden, the assault on intelligence, American national security in the age of lies. Bill and Wendy are here, and we'll get out of the way so you can do the show. But are you guys okay? Everything all right?
Everything's great.
Yeah.
We're very excited about today's show.
Any particular reason?
Well, it's Joe Romano's birthday, so Uncle Nicky Romano will be joining us. That's Joe's uncle. He'll be out. Coach Lawson will be here, his coach from fourth grade.
That's tremendous.
And happy birthday, Super Joe.
Rena Harmon, the second girl Joe ever kissed. Will be
oh,
out.
No kidding. Oh, couldn't find the first one?
Rena Harmon.
Yeah.
First girl, what happened to her?
Can't talk about it on the air.
Is that right?
We've been asked to not
talk
about
it. Was there an incident?
There might have been an incident.
Wow.
Yeah.
She's been ignoring me for a very long time.
Yep.
And as we've determined, you will not be ignored.
Mm-hmm. Oh, boy.
Get your bunny boiled. We'll be back tomorrow. Bye-bye.